Welcome. You are listening to the ADHD Chatterbox, a podcast hosted by Valencia Jones and sponsored by the Family Coaching Service, who offer one-to-one support to families and individuals facing challenges. To keep in the loop with future podcast episodes and to spread the word, you can show your love by simply clicking like, by choosing to subscribe, and we'd love it if you could please opt to share. Hope you enjoy the episode. So welcome to the first podcast for Tess. It's the first podcast, first episode of the first season. And today we're going to be looking at late diagnosis in adults. And I've been really, really cheeky. It's a Sunday and I've dragged my mate, my busy mate, out of bed because I thought, who better than to talk on this subject than my friend Kay Parker. You may have seen her down at the group. Last time she was scooting around and I was losing her a little bit as the butt of my joke. So I do apologise for that now. You've got the public apology. Let's get into it. Let's see. Okay. It's okay. How you doing?
Hi.
We're going to have a few giggles at first. Normally the stuff we talk about is just absolute like nonsense.
Yeah.
So for us to be doing something quite serious is going to be quite a test, I think, for both of us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of nervous giggling going on.
Well, maybe not so when you start telling them about the story of your late diagnosis. So you're currently going through diagnosis.
Yes, yeah.
And can you tell me how long that has taken you to go through that diagnosis? How long has that process been for you?
So I think it was first drawn to my attention that actually what was supposedly told that I had depression, anxiety for years and years and years might actually be ADHD was yourself, another friend and my sister all simultaneously around the same time about 3 years ago saying, hey, look, you know, this has come up, this has come to my notice. Do you ever think this might be you? Obviously, from your own background, another friend of mine, she'd been researching it and said, like, this is literally you. And then my sister's children, they are themselves sort of been picked up at school and where it's sort of tracked back to, it's very often seen in parents. My sister's gone, oh, hang on a minute. And then she phoned me and said, okay, have you seen this? So I went to my GP, who is absolutely brilliant. I did a bit of research, first of all.
Can I just ask you before you get into that? Sorry.
Yeah,
it's just like how did that feel when
that's right.
Well, when I know that I approached you, I remember trying to do it really gingerly and going, you know, don't take this the wrong way. But how did that feel to, and as you say, that it was kind of three people all around the same time.
Yeah.
Don't know why. But how did that feel? Did you kind of think, no, not at all, or actually, oh my God, was it a light bulb moment? How did that feel for you?
Well, initially, the other friend that I mentioned, she was the first one. Initially, I was like, nah, it's little boys climbing walls, isn't it? I was that person. I was like, nah, it's all the stuff we eat. It's no load of rubbish. It's just labels. It's just all the classic things that we're used to hearing. And then I thought, there is some merit in this because she's an intelligent lady, so I will do a bit of research.
You didn't think that about me when I said it then?
No, I did. By the time you said it, I was like, no, this woman knows everything. So I'm like, I'm totally subscribed to this now. And then it was, because it then very quickly happened with yourself and my sister as well. I was like, they're all onto something here.
Yeah.
I've been very lucky when I went, to go back to the question about the length of time, when I went back to my GP, I say this has only been about 3 years for me, but I know the waiting list now is about, she was saying, could be 5-6 years in places.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then following a couple of groups that I follow on social media, I've got people there that are saying they're almost their GPs tell them to go away because they literally aren't going to get a diagnosis because they are so overwhelmed now as awareness has been raised.
But going back to you with regards to how did you... Did you come to terms with it quite quickly that you might have ADHD? Because, I mean, you still haven't been diagnosed yet, looking like it. It's almost like waiting for someone to put the rubber stamp on. I remember when I was waiting for my diagnosis and I remember feeling really nervous and not wanting the diagnosis, but almost wanting the diagnosis because I was like, something's got to be going on and I needed someone to just give me that affirmation. So, and I remember that being quite... a whirlwind of emotions. I remember having the light bulb moment, suddenly thinking, and I was actually in Mexico in the middle of the ocean, and I suddenly thought, I think I might have ADHD. With the worst being that all three of my kids have it, and I would joke and be like, well, I don't know where they got it from. Like, literally.
Yeah.
And then I remember this light bulb moment, and then going back and researching it and then ticking every box. I was reading this woman's story and I was like, this is me. But then I remember this immense sadness that came over me.
Yeah.
So can you kind of describe for the people that are listening, or can you remember back to that, you know, just that range of emotions? I mean, mine kind of was all over the place. It was a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But can you remember for yourself how that was?
Yeah, I think it was those light bulb moments, because obviously, as we know, we're quite good researchers when we go down a rabbit hole. So I did really start looking into it. And I mean, initially, obviously, with the GP, we literally went through the list and just ticked every box. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, does this mean that having been told all my life I'm depressed and anxious,
yeah,
actually is something else? And she's like, it could be.
Hmm.
So that was a massive, like, because, you know, you read up about depression. The idea is you have depression, you get treated, it goes away. And I was like, I don't actually feel depressed a lot of the time. I get overwhelmed.
Hmm.
I get overwhelmed. And that overwhelm leads to me sort of starting to doubt myself, needs to, like, and I used to describe it as my head running away with like too many thoughts, and that drove the anxiety and then made me depressed because I couldn't stop it. And then the more I read up about it, like the noise in your head, how these thoughts can sort of keep manifesting and just running away with you, I was like, that's what happens. It's not depression, it's overwhelm. I'm just overwhelmed by everything. And then there was a couple of really good videos I looked at on YouTube and started reading about the symptoms and the journey, especially for girls going through school, because, again, I can't quote where I saw it from, but there was, you probably correct me on this, but am I right, there was no diagnostic criteria for women until the early noughties.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
We kind of assumed it's just not to have it.
Yeah, basically.
And they still stand by those stats in saying all that more boys are still diagnosed, or even in adulthood.
Yeah.
You kind of think, well, yeah, of course there's more men with ADHD because we were skipped.
Yeah.
We were never thought
this is
of.
It.
And so of course, your stats are running like that.
And I honestly looked back. There was this one video that was really, really, it did make me cry, because it was basically, it went through the journey of girls at school with ADHD and what happens. And it was literally like reading my own history or watching my own history or listening to my own history. And it really made me upset, because I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what happened. All these years, I've thought, why can't I just do what everybody else does? Why can't I just function like a normal functioning adult? Why is everything so difficult? And why am I never quite good enough?
Yeah.
I try so hard, I'm never quite good enough. And it was like this light bulb did go on. It was, and I was really emotional, and I just suddenly felt all these years that I've lost, all the relationships that got messed up, all these crazy impulsive decisions I've made, and just messing up the last few years of school. I just think, would things have been different had I known, had I had the right support?
And have things been different since you've considered that, you know, you could have ADHD? And I don't say that in the mind of like, you haven't got it until the doctor kind of says.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to go through this period almost, don't you, of self-diagnosis, but it never is quite, I don't know, do you know what
I mean? Well, it's funny, because since I've started to understand this, I suppose in a way I've took the mask off, and it made me realise just how much I have been masking for such a long time, trying to almost suppress or hide the more, I say, use the word eccentric, but it's probably not the right word. But the bits of me that ADHD bits of me, the more I've tried to hide them and suppress them, I've stopped doing that. I've stopped doing that. And it's like, I mean, perhaps age and a bit of maturity helps, because you have that confidence just to be yourself as well. So perhaps it's coincided.
Apart from when the menopause kicks in, because apparently that's going to bring a whole range of symptoms.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast, that is. but yeah, and having amazing friends around me and people that value me for who I am. And yeah, and having taken the mask off, I feel free. I feel like myself. And since that's happened, more and more people have said, have you got ADHD?
It's really leaking out now from all sides.
Which is hilarious. And I think, actually, I don't mind that. No, I think that's great, because I think, A, we are becoming more aware of it as a society. People are becoming more aware of it. And obviously me being more myself and hiding those crazier bits. It's more obvious, I suppose.
Well, it's a stressful full-time job, isn't it? Trying to mask and trying to fit in. So if I think back to, you know, my school days, I mean, I ticked off every single box, and obviously to get your diagnosis, you have to be able to trace it back.
Yeah.
Because a lot of stress manifests itself as ADHD symptoms,
yeah.
which you'll find often when you're speaking to people, and they'll go, oh, well, how did you know? And then you kind of go, oh, well, you know, I struggle sleeping, or I struggle sleeping too. Oh, I'm quite forget. Oh, I forget my keys every now and again,
yeah.
you know, and it's not that, is it? It's that magnified, elevated 24/7 just on that run, you know, that kind of treadmill all the time for as long as you can remember,
yeah,
you know, and it's that. How did you feel with well, I suppose I should ask you, have you had any kind of negative kind of comments, like, oh god, another one? Or yeah, have you heard any of those kind of comments?
Yeah, I've heard, oh, you don't want to put a label on it. Why would you want to put a label on it?
Yeah.
Oh, don't put yourself down. I was like, I'm not putting myself down, actually. I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm actually really glad to have be validated if it is the case.
And what's the other alternative for labels? I think I talk about this often in the group, isn't it? So the other labels, the labels that I had before I had the label of ADHD, was that I was lazy, that I couldn't commit, that I could try harder. If I tried harder, I could accomplish and be so, oh, you could have been.
Yeah.
Or before it was you could have been, it was you could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
At school it was you could be, and then when I came out of school it was you could have been.
Yeah. And it was like
those are the other labels that I can have.
I mean, well, the really thing is, as you know, obviously gone through a lot with losing my parents last year. But in some ways, I mean, whether everything happens for a reason, I don't know. Because my sister and I had to finally clear out Mum's loft that she'd been asking us to do for ages. I found all my old school reports, and that for me, that did it there and then. That was in black and white on my school reports, and all the comments going through.
Did the assessors ask you to take that to bring that to
they
them?
Actually when I was assessed, but I'm going to,
because when I was assessed I had to go back to all my old school stuff, and then I had to get my mum had to fill out stuff as well. They had to build this massive history.
They didn't, but I'm going to. They did ask people close to me to fill in sort of forms about myself and personality traits, ideally someone that's known me for a long time. So my sister did one. And then when I actually did, so I did the initial telephone, so that I'd gone through, it's the, I think, oh, I can't remember the name of it. Another thing. but it's basically based up in West Midlands. I think it's like Black Country ADHD and Autism Services or something like that. I can't remember. Don't quote me on that. But basically they did an initial telephone interview that was supposed to be an hour and a half. And the assessor, who herself was late diagnosed, had to call back and finish it, and we were talking for another hour because I had so much to try and sort of get across and tell her. And when she was quite, when she came on for the interview for the well, I say it was a telephone call, it wasn't, it was face to face via like video call. When she came on, I think I dropped something and disappeared below the camera and giggled and then knocked something else over. She did the same thing, and towards the end I was like, you late diagnosed? And she's like, yes. And I was like, yeah. And it was just really funny because you just like, I think you sort of start to recognize it as well. Yeah. The more you understand. Yeah.
So it can be quite, I don't know if you found it the same way, but as I said earlier, it's like a real roller coaster of emotions of going back and forth, and this kind of thing of like, oh my God, could this be, oh my God, that would explain so much. And it almost this little bit of the light bulb moment, then the sense of relief, then the sense of grief, then the sense of anger. I kind of feel like I've jumped into every pool of emotion. And then the kind of the derogatory remarks, you know, about ADHD and people with ADHD just cut so deep because you almost feel like it's kind of like, I suppose what I'm trying to say is when I was younger, I knew that I didn't belong. And then when I found the reason I don't belong, people are almost gaslighting me on that as well. It's like, well, where do I belong? Like, don't I belong anywhere? You know, and when I got my finally got my diagnosis, I remember again having a whole new journey again, and it kind of went on a loop again, that grief, that anger, that frustration, and all of those things. I suppose the thing that I've got to, that I can kind of hold on to, is that, you know, I'm a 74 baby. So back in them days, I mean, you didn't have dyslexia, you didn't have any of these things, did you?
Well, I was 78, so
you didn't have any
you.
Of these things at all. No. But now, obviously, we hope that people will know better. But I know it's taken you quite some time to get your diagnosis, and you're still kind of in that, and you've had, you know, you've had cancelled appointments. And I mean, how has that been for you? You know, well, when that you can kind of almost get your hands on, and it's not, and I'm not saying it's searching for that diagnosis, no, but it's just searching for that meaning. Someone just give me this meaning as to why I think the way I do, so that I can then act on it. But also, so once you get that diagnosis, then, you know, I've always said to you, it opened up so much for me. Yeah. It meant that I was protected by law in my workplace. Yeah. Things as basic as that, you know, understanding myself and how I can respond to things or help myself through situations. But how has that been for you?
I suppose it's a difficult one because, like I say, it's not about wearing it as a badge of honour, but I just want validation. I just want validation to know. And it doesn't, in some ways, it doesn't necessarily change anything. Do I want medication? I'm not sure. Have I managed so far? I've changed a lot in the last couple of years. Yeah. I've changed how I work. I've changed how I do things. So instead of fighting it or trying to medicate it so that I can function in this sort of being a square peg in a round hole that we're supposed to function in sort of modern day society, actually, how can I adapt what I do and how I do things to just manage? I've tried a lot of different herbal stuff, and different things work for different people. For me, like you say, it's about having a reason, having something that protects me in law, having something that I understand, and from doing the work like you do with with the support group, and understanding that actually our brains are fundamentally different, and that's why we do the things we do. But also, and again, this is, I know, something we've talked about a bit. To me, it's not an excuse. Yeah. I don't want to just turn around and go, oh, I've got my diagnosis. This is why I can't do things because I'm just shit.
I'm not turning up. Let's not talk about time with you.
No, don't forget that. That's a whole other podcast as well.
We know what side of the ADHD time you are. I'm the one that turns off an hour early because the anxiety kills me to be late.
Yes.
And you're the one that has the anxiety and you're always running in by the seat of your pants while I'm just sat there.
Yes.
I have
horrendous time blindness. Time blindness like you would not believe.
So if anything, you just want the diagnosis that you can wear a t-shirt. I've got my time blindness because I've got ADHD.
Yeah. The standing joke is I've always managed to get on a plane on time. I've never missed a plane. Touch wood. Where's wood? I need wood.
Well, there's dopamine in that, isn't it?
Exactly.
To get on a plane.
I've got to get on a plane. I do have my moments. I have got better. I think most people know she'll be here at some point. And it's embarrassing and it is anxiety inducing and I drive myself insane with it because I would literally look and go, yeah, I've got plenty of time to do that. And then somehow I would just lose half an hour in that process. Yeah. Half an hour, just gone, magic, into the ether.
But if you're, you know, back in the past with that, of course, you quite a lot of anxiety, like, God, why can't I do this? And now that you've got that idea that actually, you know, it's likely that I've got ADHD. So now I can kind of work with this because I felt empowered. Yeah. When I got my diagnosis, apart from all the other stuff where I broke down, was really angry and went through all that. And then there's grieving.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did ultimately feel empowered. I felt like, wow, this is me. It was like the cloth had been pulled off.
Yeah.
It was like, this is me. Take it and leave it in that sense.
Absolutely.
But that was to myself, not to other people. Because as you say, you know, that I'm a firm believer in not using it as an excuse for anything. And it's like, look, I've got to work with this, you know, because I've still got to be aware of how my ADHD affects people around me. Mm-hmm. And it can't be burdening them just because I've kind of gone, well, that's my ADHD. I will just drop that there or I would, you know. But yeah.
But it's the classic things, isn't it? It's the little strategies like I have to put my keys and the various passes I need for my various jobs in a certain place. If I don't do that, I don't have my keys.
They don't exist.
No.
They don't exist.
Or I don't have the passes. Yeah. I did it the other day. I took one of my passes for one of my jobs out to look for something else that I've lost. That's a whole other thing. And then I forgot to put them back in my pocket because while I was searching for that thing I'd lost, I got distracted by something else. So I didn't put the pass back in my pocket. And I was really proud of myself because I'd worked really hard to get out the door early. I was so on time. Yeah. I had loads of time to get to work. There was a bit of a hold up on the road due to an accident. I was like, that's fine. I've still got time. I can go the back way in because I've got my pass. Mm. Oh, no, I haven't got my pass. So I had to go right round to the main entrance bit, like the gatehouse bit, and get registered for a new pass. So actually, instead of getting to work beautifully early like I'd originally planned, I scraped in bang on time. However, because I've been good that day and put in extra time, I had time to scrape in on time, or else I would have been late. So that's a classic. And it's it's just little things like that. And you're like, you have to have, so I have to have everything in certain places. I have about three of everything.
Would you, sorry to cut in, right, would you have had things in certain places before you entertained the idea of you having ADHD?
No, I just thought I was hopeless.
So now, even though you're waiting for your diagnosis, because it's bringing it back to that diagnosis theme, it's like, well, you're waiting for the diagnosis, you've still done the all important thing is, which is, I think, if you know, and I'm a firm believer of it, and when I speak to people or work with people, I say, if you believe you think you have ADHD, you know, whatever your symptoms, whether they're ADHD based or they're not, actually use a strategy for them anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to wait, because I do work with people who are almost like they won't start to do that work on the things and the symptoms that are affecting their lives so negatively, because they're like, no, I'm waiting for the diagnosis before it's all. But I'm like, but this is affecting you now, with or without the diagnosis. Yeah. And I do believe that's important for people, massively. I think that that's important. I appreciate that for some people are like, actually, I'm not bothered. And of course, they have the autonomy and that's their choice.
Yeah.
But I think, but I do, I work with people who will say, yeah, well, you know, almost they're waiting for the diagnosis to start kickstarting. Whereas I'm a believer in like, no, do it now. Yeah, make your life easier now. Because that diagnosis, as you say, you've been waiting how long? 3 years?
About 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
And can you tell me how many levels to that? So what's the first step? So if somebody wants to go and look about and diagnose, what's that first step?
So there is a form. The GPs have it, but I think if you research it first and find it, it's useful. I can't remember the name of the form, but there is a form, and it's basically a tick box form. And you go with that, talk it through with your GP and say, you know, this is why I believe I've got it. Can you refer me? Now, as I say, for Herefordshire, for me, it was easy. GP was great. She's like, yes, I can refer you. I'm aware different parts of the country, there's different ways, there's different things. She said the weight is absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't care. I still want the referral. Still refer me. So basically, I just sat and waited and waited and waited, heard nothing, didn't even hear anything confirming that I'd been referred. So after a while, I did actually find out the pathway for our area. And I did actually...
And that's the area of Herefordshire.
And I did get in touch and I said, can I just check you've got me on a list? And they were like, yes, we do have you on the list. I was like, goodness. Because you hear horror stories of people that never actually got referred and been waiting.
And sorry, who was that you were on the list with?
I need to find out the proper name. I think it's something like Black Country ADHD and Autism Services.
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head. I could probably look at it on my phone.
Yeah, and if we find that out, we can probably add a link to this podcast to make sure that people can kind of...
It was through the GP. And then they initially got in touch to say, right, we'll do an initial telephone interview. Based on the telephone interview, on how they assess you from that with the psychiatrist, they then send out the forms for like your family or people close to you to fill in, and yourself. They ask you, there's a form you fill in as well. That goes back, and then like they've just done with me, based on the telephone interview and the results of those forms, they've now called back to offer me a face-to-face appointment, which is an hour and a half.
How are you feeling with the upcoming of that?
I'm nervous. Yeah. I'm nervous because I think it's all led up to this, you know. And I'm fairly certain the diagnosis is there based on what I've seen.
Yeah.
But you have these moments thinking, what if it's not?
I remember those.
What if it's not?
And where do I go then? I just have to admit,
what the heck,
actually.
Man? Oh, let's go down the perimenopause route. I don't know. So that's a bit...
Which doctors love to send us women back, by the way.
Yeah.
The old menopause route.
So
it's... So you, and sorry, did you say that you know when that's...
It's next week.
So that's next week.
Yeah,
wow.
So we can provide an update.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That is nerve-wracking. Because you've got the hour and a half. They've got all of your forms in.
Yeah.
And that. And do you know if you'll get your diagnosis on the day? Have they told you what the process is?
I haven't actually really asked. I think I've kind of got the appointment and gone, yeah, great, okay.
Yeah.
I'll just turn up and see what happens.
And where are you having that?
That is up at Stourbridge.
Right, okay.
So I've got to head up to Stourbridge for that. So
don't be late.
Do you think that's one of the tick boxes?
Yeah, they probably give an allowance of about half an hour for every person who made it.
I already had to, with the forms, I already had to say, can I have it? Because they give you the forms. They're like, you need to get your forms back by this date or we'll take you off the list. I already had to phone them and say, can you give an extension, please? Because I haven't done them yet. And I'm waiting for my sister to fill in the one and she hasn't done it either.
Oh, I think they must just know. It reminds me slightly digressing of when I set up when I did the first ADHD group, you know, for Tess. And you know, we were sat there and I think I'd said it started at, so we did the 9:30 group, don't we, for the pence. And then we we had the group for the adults as well. And I think I remember saying, this can't be the ADHD group. Are you guys all in the right place? Because they were all on time.
Yeah.
And they were all quiet. Yeah. And I was like, is there another group going on around here? And they've all just got off the poach and gone to the wrong one.
Yeah.
But no. So good luck with your with your assessment. I hope it all goes well. And yeah, if you can provide an update.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll be able to. I mean, is there anything, is there any advice that you might want to give for somebody that's going for diagnosis, that's nervous to go? You know, or anything you want to say on that?
Do as much research as possible. There are some great groups on social media as well that you can follow for advice and other people's experiences. I think I was very fortunate with a very understanding GP who's known me for some time. I think don't be put off. I think if you get a GP that doesn't understand it, you're well within your rights to go and see another GP and take the criteria with you. You know, take the questionnaire with you. So I think research is really important, and I think persevere if you to have that validation, which will then hopefully, like you say, lead to protection and employment and other things as well. I think just you know yourself.
Yeah.
If you've known yourself all your life that you've never really quite fitted in and something's wrong, and those things match up to what we're seeing in late diagnosis in adults, then I think know yourself and advocate for yourself. Have that confidence.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and the important thing that I've always added as well is the reason for diagnosis as well, because I think you started off with it by saying that, you know, we end up getting medicated, don't we? I can't tell you the amount of times I would go to the doctors and say, I'm really struggling, or I've not been able to get out of bed for 3 days. And it was because actually I was overwhelmed. I was in what is I now know is an ADHD paralysis. I was having that emotional dysregulation. And their idea all the time was to chuck some citalopram at me or some, you know, any sort of kind of antidepressants or anxiety tablets. And I would go back to the doctor and go, these aren't working. They go, oh, well, that's because you've got to give it time. Oh, actually, we'll just up your dose. And I think it was only because I was really like, this isn't right. These just don't work. But I speak to so many people. And I think, you know, if you don't... slightly disclosed, I think I remember having a conversation with you and saying, you know, these antidepressants, actually, if you have something like ADHD, they can make these worse.
Yeah.
And how long? And I will often say to people, how long have you been on your antidepressants? And of course, I have to be really careful with this because there is no, you know, I'm not a GP, I'm not medical. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and so it's really important that you have those discussions with your GP. But so often, especially as women, we go to the GP and we are simply not heard. And if we go in and we say, look, I'm feeling a bit emotionally dysregulated, the first thing we're going to get is, oh, you're anxious straight away. It's almost like that Victorian hysteria, isn't it? But it is really important that actually, you know, there is no shame if you need antidepressants or you need anxiety tablets, but let's make sure that we're treating the right thing, you know, isn't it? The right kind of, I don't want to say ailment because ADHD isn't an ailment. No. You know, it can feel like it sometimes for myself, but it's really important that actually we're getting the right medication. There's no point in giving me medication for a migraine if I've broken my leg, you know, and that's why it's so important, isn't it? So I think when you say, that perseverance and getting to the bottom of it, and then if you choose to go on medication or you don't choose to go on medication, you know, at least you have that choice. But getting that diagnosis, it protects you. It means that, you know, you can go to the doctor and say, well, actually, those antidepressants aren't going to work for me, actually, because they might make my ADHD worse in some cases for some types of antidepressant medication. But then in the workplace to say, actually, do you know what? You can't pick, you know, hot desking doesn't work for me. That's one of the arguments I had with my employers. Yeah. I thank God I had my ADHD diagnosis because I was then protected by law. Hot desking doesn't work for me. You're not going to get the most out of me by making me hot desk, and I'm going to have to keep transitioning.
Yeah.
Every, you know, and I come back to my desk, someone's taken it, or the only desk available is by the staircase or by the kitchen. You know, but yeah, there's so many reasons.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for that. Really, really appreciate your time. Thank you for being so open and honest with it all.
That's all right. That's okay.
And what we'll do is we'll give you guys an update, okay, so all right with that, and we'll try and get that link as well to who she was referred through.
Yeah.
We can put any details on there. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the ADHD Chatterbox, a podcast brought to you by your host, Valencia Jones, and sponsored by the Family Coaching Service. To stay up to date with all future podcasts, don't forget to subscribe, like, and to share. Thank you for listening, and hope to see you soon.